Okay, so Bezras Hashem, continuing in person with our weekly shiur on the Goyin and the Tzaddik, Rav Yitzchak Meir Morgenstern Shlita, entering the Sea of Wisdom. And again, I just haven't been able to print out the weekly printouts, and this has been a real shift for me since coming to Eretz Yisrael and becoming more comfortable just learning the Rebbe's Torah. If it's a sefer, it doesn't have to be, you know, so neurotic about it for myself in terms of having to get each page done. So just learning the Rebbe's Torah, and Bezras Hashem, it's going to be a continuation of a sugya we touched on last week. I did it online last week, but I'm very much finding myself thinking and learning about the world of Akudim. And the world of Akudim is a fundamental stage in the process of the unfolding of the worlds, the three stages that we see in Yaakov Avinu's dream and his encounter with Lavan and the battle that he has over the sheep. And it says that the different kind of skin, the different expressions or shapes on the body of those sheep were Akudim, Nekudim, and Berudim. Akudim represents kind of this very premature, premature stage of reality, where there are 10 oros, the lights are still there, but it's the first formation of a vessel. It's the first place that we begin to talk about Kalim. The whole Gantz Kabbalah Sa'arizal, and really the Ramak as well, is how do we develop the interrelationship between Oros and Kalim. Oros, lights, represent the infinite expression of godliness. Kalim represent the limitation of this worldliness. So we know that God exists in an infinite way prior to and after the creation of the world. So the infinite light is not a chiddush. The chiddush is for the infinite light to manifest within Kalim, which are by definition two oppositions, right? Because infinitude means no boundary, no limitation. Kalim means limitation. And so we learn something incredible in this unfolding process of these three stages of worlds. And a world is synonymous with Kalim, because a world, which is a language of He'elem, Olam, it means an element of concealment, and it's concealment that enables something other than God to function in a way that it can have some sense of independence. Right, because the problem, so to speak, with Or Ein Sof being revealed is that there's no room for independence. Everything is obliterated in the infinite light of God. So the first stage is the world of Akudim, where we have 10 lights within one vessel, within one kli. Then the world of Nikudim, which is the world of Shira Sakelim, where there are 10 lights in 10 different vessels, but because of an imbalance and each vessel wanting to receive all of the light, Kavyachol, there was a shattering, a cataclysmic trauma that gives birth to the shards of experience that make up our reality. And then there's Olam HaTikun, referred to as Olam HaBrudim. So what happens in the world of Akudim, in the Ari, it's prior to kind of any engagement of human beings, because this is a place far beyond where human beings have access in terms of actions or what we're able to do. But there are certain halachos that come out from this world of Akudim, and the Rebbe has a mahalach in his shirim on Chaim Maharan that, based on the Baal HaSadeh, who was Rav Shaul Dweck HaKohen, who was one of the Ziknei HaMikubalim within the last 100 years in Yerushalayim, where he writes that any time a person has kavana on a bracha or is thinking about relating to God, even though generally speaking we don't think or contemplate the world of Akudim, there is space to learn that each and every bracha needs to draw down from the light of Akudim. So here the Rebbe says there's a real element of Avodah. There's also, what we spoke about last week, was that in the world of Akudim, it's the aspect of Hishtoikikus. It's a world of Lahachyoisam Barav. It's a world where desire itself is the satisfaction. Why? Because in the world of Akudim, we find numerous halachos. We find first and foremost that it's the beginning of a vessel, but it's not quite a vessel yet. So it has this paradoxical relationship where it's both a vessel and not a vessel. One of the most amazing things that the Ari points out in Shahr HaKudim, and not surprisingly, but the Piyazetz Nereba Hashem Yom Komdomo Mavo Sha'arim, which is his contribution to really understanding the role that Kabbalah plays in relationship to Chassidus and Chassidus to Kabbalah, the Piyazetz Nereba Hashem Yom Komdomo bases that entire sefer on this klal that we're going to describe right now in Olam HaKudim. That how do the beginning of the vessels form? What is the beginning of the formation of the vessels? All there was, and obviously we're just rushing through numerous akdamos, all there was light. But hidden within that light were two expressions of light. There was a refined light, And then, as we've spoken about so often, for the infinite to be infinite, it needs to contain within itself the possibility towards finitude. Meaning to say, for Hashem to be truly whole, so to speak, there has to be the ability for Hashem to manifest himself by way of limitation. Because if Hashem can't manifest by way of limitation, so then what you're doing is you're creating a deficiency within the capacity of godliness. But if you create a space of limitation that is disconnected completely from the infinite, then you run into all sorts of theological issues like kadmuta olam, as if there's some separation that existed on its own, devoid of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's light, God forbid. So how does the Arizal come? And this is really, as we've spoken about in the Leshem Shirim, this is really kind of the crux of the question the Ari is coming to ask. How does the infinite relate with the finite in a way that the infinite remains infinite, the finite remains finite, but neither one separates themselves from each other? So here we have this amazing idea that this light comes down. This Or HaZach comes down. There's an expression of light. And then that light goes back upwards. But what's left behind after that retreat of the light is the thicker elements of light that existed within the refined elements of light prior to its expression. So to speak, in the source itself, there's an admixture of two types of light. There's an Or Zach, there's a refined light. And then there's a light that is still considered light, obviously. It's not considered a vessel, but it's referred to as an Or Ha'av. There's a little bit more materiality to it, a little bit more propensity towards manifestation, towards becoming thicker than it actually is. Almost like the transition between a gas and a liquid, or really water and ice, right? So that ice and water are made of the same materials, except it's a different process and an expression of that process. So the lights come down and then the lights go back up. But the light that became thickened in the descent down remains below because it can't go back up. And that light, that thickened light that remains below, that Or Ha'av, becomes the Shorish of the Kelim. That congealed light, slowly but surely, once it's left below, on its own, yes, maintaining a relationship with the light that ascended, but now that it's no longer enveloped and saturated in the infinite light itself, it now takes on certain properties that begin to appear like a kli itself. So the halacha that we learn here is a remarkable one. The kelim themselves, all limitation, all gradation, all measurement, is nothing but a thickening of the light itself. And the Piyaz Etzner Rebbe goes everywhere with this, because he says that the Ikr Chiddush of Chassidus is to live with that recognition that when you contemplate or think about the vessels enough, and again, vessels mean everything, experientially, psychologically, physically, when you contemplate that enough, what you come to find is that they're nothing but thickened elements of light, which is a profoundly significant concept when contemplating materiality, when contemplating this world. Instead of looking at it as something thick and separate from godliness, we can look at it as a thickening expression of godliness that when abstracted to its refined core, we come to find that it's nothing but the light that it's coming to conceal. This is the very secret of Tzimtzum itself, how the thing that conceals the light is the light itself.
Somebody told me that scientifically it's also true.
Kavadai. Einstein said this. Energy equals mass. I mean, Einstein said it in like, I could speak only on a Wikipedia level, but Einstein said energy, right? E equals mc squared. Energy is
mass times
the speed of light, right? So that when all energy is, when it's spread out, when it's sped up, and when it's expressing itself, it becomes the very source of the materiality that is born afterwards. And then from a quantum perspective, it's certainly true that at the core of things, meaning everything, we used to think we knew what a table was, at least. Now what we've come to understand with the quantum revolution in physics is that at the core of the table itself is nothing but kind of the buzzing nature of different atoms and things that are spinning around at various speeds. So that's one halacha. The next halacha that we get in the world of Akudim is a concept of mati veloy mati. Touching and not touching. This is something that Rabbi Nachman Schussi Agen Aleinu describes in an amazing way in the 24th teaching in Likutei Maharan, where because we're talking about such a lofty space, the lights can't fully settle in the vessel yet, right? There's no real fundamental relationship between giver and receiver, between expression and receptivity, because it's kind of like a gray space. So the way that these kelim form, and suffice it to say, there's a full-length exposition on this in the Arizal, but the light comes down and goes up, comes down and goes up, go in, out, in, out, in, out, Ratza v'shov kamare habezek, touching and retreating, touching and retreating. And that's the only way that light can fully manifest itself in Olam HaAkudim. So the next halacha we learn here, and this is what the Rebbe was discussing last week, is that, or what we discussed based on the Rebbe last week, which is that here it's not a hisyav shvus ha'or b'hakli. Here you don't have light that is settling into the vessels. Here what you have is light that is running into the vessel and retreating from the vessel, running into the vessel and retreating from the vessel, running into the vessel, retreating. Mati, touching, velo mati, retreating. When it's touching in the world of Chachma, it's not touching in the world of Keser. When it's touching in the world of Bina, it's not touching in the world of Chachma. Zakta Arizal, a tremendous chiddush. That it's specifically when the lights are not settled within the vessel, when it's a stage of lo mati, when there's a retreat away from the vessels, back up to the source of light, that's where the vessels begin to form most delicately. Meaning to say that it's the hishtoikikus, it's the desire for the light that is retreating from us, that becomes the way of relating to the light in that world. In the world of Nikudim, in the world of Tikkun, we relate to light when it finds a vessel, and we have a vessel for that light, and whatever manifestation that takes place. In the world of Akudim, it's a counterintuitive expression where the very thing that I don't have is the thing that's giving me Chaim at this point. And that's why the Rebbe says it's referred to as a world of lahachyoisim barav. This is something that the Admoirim of Chabad Chasidus spoke about so often, especially the Mitzvah Rebbe when it came to Yom Kippur. Pasuk says lahachyoisim barav, that I will feed you in the time of your hunger. So instead of reading it as there will be a food that comes to satisfy that hunger, read it as your hunger itself will be your satisfaction. Lahachyoisim barav, that you will be satisfied through your hunger, that the yearning desire for the light that is not present right now, in the shov experience, and the trying to grab that which I can no longer hold on to, that is the chayim in Olam HaAkudim. And there are other halachos that we learn from Olam HaAkudim as well. One of the fundamental ones which we're going to touch upon right now, and again, tomorrow's the Lashem Shabbat V'Alcholema's Yartzeit, and there were no tzaddikim, but the Baal Sulam's entire system is based on Akudim, and the Lashem Shabbat V'Alcholema's entire system is based on Akudim as well. But there's another halacha, in that Akudim is such a lofty world, but the expression of the oiros in this place is only expression of the light of nefesh. Meaning to say that it's the lowest possible expression of light. So here we'll do one more hakdama chevra, that we know, generally speaking, most things can be broken up into categories of five. The Shem Havaya plus the tippy top of the yud, which brings us to the different partsufim of keser, which is the tippy top of the yud, chachma, which is the yud, Bina, which is the Hey, Zer Anpin, which is Chesed, Gvur, Tferes, Netzach, and Hod, which is the Vav, and the Hey is going to be Malchus. You have five Partsufim, you have five elements of the HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name, we have five worlds, we have Adam Kadmon, corresponding to the tippy top of the Yud, Atzilus, corresponding to the Yud, Bria, corresponding to the Hey, Yitzira, corresponding to the Vav, and Asiya, corresponding to the Hey. You have five different Tfilos, right? You have Tikkun Chatzos, you have Shacharis, Mincha, Maariv, and you have Hespoedidus. All of these things, right, you can find infinite expressions that align with these five. One of those expressions is the five different elements of the soul. Now, this is already found in Chazal Mufurash, right? So this is not a question of Chasidus, Kabbalah. This is in Chazal themselves. We have a Nefesh, we have a Ruach, we have a Neshama, we have a Chaya, and we have Yechida. The Nefesh is identified as the life force of vitality within the body, very often identifiable with the lower elements of the body, the expressive expressions outwards, right, the legs and the physical connections to things. Then we have the Ruach, which is going to be emotions.
I heard the Rebbe say it was in the liver.
In the liver, in the kaved, right, absolutely. Yeah, the kli, right, absolutely. The three kalim for the nefesh, ruach, and neshama are the kaved, the lev, and the moach, which is Rosh Tevos Melech, right, which is, or kilim, right? If you're going from the liver to the heart to the head, then it's kilim, it's destruction, right? As anybody knows. If you're going from the moach to the lev to the kaved, it's melech, then you're king over yourself. But avada, so it's associated with the liver, but You have the nefesh, you have the ruach, which is the emotions. Gross says famously that ruach is the essential place of engagement. You have the neshama, which is b'moyach, neshama shebemochi. That's kind of thoughts that are conscious to us. Then you have the chaya and the yechida. The chaya and the yechida don't have a vessel within the body. Nefesh, ruach, and neshama have a vessel within the body, which means they are embodied states referred to as oireis penimim, internalized lights that I have access to. Chaya and yechida, in ascending order, are referred to as makifin, or surrounding lights, because they're unconscious to us. They are not resting in the body. There's no kli that is capable of receiving it. Ah, so what's the difference between the chaya and the yechida? The chaya is referred to as a makif karov. That means that it entered our minds and then retreated our minds. So it's those ideas that we don't know, but we know at least that we don't know them. We have some strange vestige of a memory, almost even almost like a deja vu of sorts, about having known an idea but not truly having access to it. Because we're still shayach to what we don't know at that point. The yechida, on the other hand, is the unknown unknowns, right? I don't know that I don't even know these things. The yechida, there's machlokas amongst the mekubalim, ben ishchai, and the different meforshim, as to whether anybody has been zoichet to yechida, or if it's just going to be something that shayach to Mashiach Tzidkenu. I think the way we paskin is that we all have shayachas to yechida on a regular basis, right? When we can't get out of bed, that's where the yechida is kind of keeping us going.
Years ago, I remember the Shemara said the chaya is in your clothing.
That's the makifin, right? It's different makifin.
And then the yechida is in the arba'amos of the person. It doesn't have the ability.
Right, that's not something, right? But it's still koina. The arba'amos of a person are still koina. So over here in Akudim, in the highest world, we would expect for there to be a full expression of oiris. Oiris of naran chai. Naran chai is nefesh ruach neshama chai yechida. But we find the opposite. In Olam HaAkudim, all we find is that the fullest expression of light that's being revealed is nefesh. Malchus gets a nefesh. Then Yesod gets a nefesh, and Malchus gets a ruach. Then, meaning it's a gradational order. It's like Aleph, Aleph, Beis, Aleph, Beis, Gimel, Aleph, Beis, Gimel, Dalet, right? So it's that gradational one-fold song, two-fold song, three-fold song, four-fold song. Incremental growth, right? It grows one point after the other. So in the beginning, it's only the light of nefesh that comes down, the lowest expression of light. Eventually, because there's more and more lights of nefesh coming down, the lower vessels are going to receive all that they have, while the highest vessels are still going to be left with only nefesh. So that's what I want to talk about. That's what we're going to look at from the Rebbe. Because Ari says, and here we can see how tremendously big HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, because even at this lofty point in the system, at this place of Akudim, all we're talking about is nefesh, meaning we're talking about a highest level of comprehension, yet this highest level of comprehension is still only the lowest level of what it could be. And from here we see, says the Arizal, just marabu masecha Hashem, and how vast and large and expansive our relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. But Rav Chaim Vital adds something here. Rav Chaim Vital says as follows. All of the 10 spheros in the world of Akudim come out, but in the beginning, all it was Malchus. This is what Rav Chaim Vital says. So we see that the peh here in Akudim is referred to as nefesh. Hine anicho shev bevadai. I certainly think, and it's amazing, Rav Chaim Vital is saying, I think, but I'm certain about thinking. Meaning he's like adding it, but he's not mesupak as to whether, he's not adding it in the text, but he's saying, I'm pretty certain this is the case. Shamati mimoiri. I heard from my Rebbe. Ki vadai hu ki kasher yatsu kol yud sviros ha'ilu. When these 10 spheros came out in the world of Akudim, and we said all it was the nefesh of each one of these spheros, ba'u kol b'chinas shel naran chai klulim bahen. When the nefesh came out, the nefesh contained within itself all five levels of the soul. Meaning all that came out was the nefesh, but inherent within the nefesh was a nefesh, ruach, neshama, chayin, yechida. Ela shebetchila loy nisgala behem rak b'chinas nefesh bilvad. But in the beginning, all that was revealed was the nefesh. U'kamei shekasev b'drush nishmas adam atachton. This is in the beginning of Shar HaGilgulim. That we might think that a person only gets a nefesh and then they get a ruach and then they get a neshama. That's not the case. A person is born with everything. pure, full expression of potential. Maturation, education, is the unfolding of that innate potential that is always existent in that place. But don't think that it's diminished because it's only the nefesh. It's the nefesh that contains everything. So Rav Chaim Vital is saying that this same cloud that we have with regards to the nefesh of the Adam, that the nefesh, the lowest part of ourselves, contains all parts of ourselves, even the highest parts, in spite of the fact that they're not revealed yet. So we see that same thing at the source of all worlds, which is Akudim. So let's listen to what the Rebbe says. Hine b'ha'arazu gilei marina Rav Chaim Vital soid gadol. With this idea, Rav Chaim Vital revealed the tremendous secret. Shalom nizkar od b'shum makom. That's not referred to anywhere else. V'hu shebemakom shel ha-nefesh, in the place of the nefesh, in that lowly place of the lowest expression of the soul. Sham klulim kol chameshes chalkei ha-neshama. In truth, instead of finding the lowest expression of the soul, what one can find hidden and folded within it are all expressions of the soul in its totality. V'oimek ha-soid b'zehu. And what's the depth of the secret? Shadafka b'madrega hayoter nemucha shehi hanefesh. It's specifically in the lowest part of ourselves, which is our nefesh. Dafka bo kalulim b'ha'alama kol hamadregos hagavos. It's specifically there in the lowest expression of our experiences that contains the hidden potency or the hidden possibility of all of the greatest levels imaginable. Kach sha'afilu mitzad hagiloy letachton. Meaning to say, even though from the expression of the lowest expression, ze giloi hanamuch bioser, this is the lowest imaginable expression, umetgala raka malchus va'nefesh, and all that is revealed is the malchus and the nefesh, which are shaykh to death, raglea yardumavas, and all of the halachos that come with that, shehim hamadrega hanamucha bioter, which is literally the lowest expression of the human being, amnan mitzara elyon, but from a higher perspective, munach begiloy hazeh kol ha'oiris hagavoyim bioter. Hidden and folded into this expression are all of the loftiest possible expressions. V'dvarim niflayim elu einam muzkarim mamakam acher, says the Rebbe. And these wondrous words that Rav Chaim Vital is hinting to are not referred to anywhere else. V'hu yisoid gadol shenoyge leklal derech avodas Hashem. But it is a fundamental rule when it comes to all of the experience and avodas Hashem. V'hu nikra soid ha'ibur. And it's referred to as the secret of pregnancy, the secret of impregnation. In the Ari, there's three stages to all human experience that repeat themselves over and over. Ibor, Yenicha, and Moichin. Ibor, Yenicha, and Moichin. Ibor, Yenicha, and Moichin. Ibor is the stage of the Nahi, where all that is revealed is Netzach Hoid Yisoy, the lower unconscious parts of myself. Yenicha is when I'm already born and I am being yoinik off of my mother. I'm learning independency, right? That's a weaning away. That's the unfolding of the next gradation of myself, which is Chesed, Gvura, and Teferes. And then Moichin is the Hamshacha of Chachma, Bina, and Das. It's the three-stage process of development. Ibor, Yenicha, and Moichin. Ibor is the lowest of the low. Ibor is when a person is, like Chazal tell us, folded over in their mother's womb like an envelope that's folded over, right? It's tlas klilin betlas. It's three folded on top of three, which is hiding another three. It's an unconscious state. Yet, as we're going to see, we also know that when we're Ibor b'mei imo, we're also learning the entirety of the Torah. Lagamri, and then being born is the property of forgetting it. Ibor is also referred to as katnas hamoichin lagamri. Katnas hamoichin is when I am stuck within myself, almost like I'm impregnant within myself. I have my own potential pregnant within me, but it cannot seem to reveal itself yet. And we all know that frustration, right? Where there's something inside of me that I know I can reveal, or I want to reveal, or I want to let out, or I want to get out. But that running and returning and hitting the limit of myself where I can't express myself and retreating back inwards into that solitude, isolation, and silence, and then trying to run again, but being stuck, that's that stage of Ibor. That's Ibor HaMoichin. It's identifiable with the Shemos of Elohim. It's identifiable with the lowest states in Jewish history when the Jewish people are being chased by Mitzrim and they have absolutely nowhere to go. But on the secret of Shvi Shal Pesach, which the Leshem teaches so much about, and the Arizal said, Rav Chaim Vital forced him to teach this. The Arizal said, if I teach this to you, I'm going to die. And Rav Chaim Vital pushed, and the Arizal said, okay, you'll get the secret, but I'm going to die. And Kachava, the revelation of the secrets of Ibor, the secrets of Zivug Bekatnus, the secret of how everything is found specifically in the lowest feelings and the lowest places, this is a tremendous secret referred to as Soid HaIbor.
It's the Ayin Beis Reish, it's like Like you're stuck in the past.
Avar, beautiful, beautiful, past, like beautiful. It's also Iruv, right? It's also a connection between, it's also the connection between that Rishos HaYachid and Rishos HaRab, and where a person feels so stuck in themselves. The reason we call this level a stage of impregnation is because the nefesh is a state of latent pregnancy, the higher levels are expressed already. They reveal themselves in their fullness. But down here, it's prior to any manifestation. As it's known that the secret of Ibor is a secret that is hidden and concealed. It's also obviously connected to Ibor Chodesh, which Chazal said is also the deepest secret available, because it's the connection between the sun and the moon. It's that discrepancy between lights and vessels. It's the same type of question. And only a few tzaddikim, Rabbi Nachman, right, Vilna Gaon, different tzaddikim understood this. Rak tzaddikim yichidim yoidim mizeh ha-soid be'emes. They understand the secret of Ibor. Ki afilu shemegalim u'medabrim b'zeh ha-soid. Even when a person is talking about the secret over and over, mikol makom hu nishar soid ne'elam kemuva b'lukut ha-maran. It remains a secret even after speaking about it, because no matter how many times a person hears that they're okay, in spite of not feeling okay, they still don't believe it. And it has to be told over and over and over and over to a ben adam that they're okay. And we have to push back against all of the resistance that allows us to feel okay, and all of the natural traumatic responses to how we've been taught Torah that tells us that we're not okay. The secret of Ibor is the secret of mamash being okay. And that's one of the most difficult secrets to accept.
It's also the Ra'av, that
Bavadai. Bavadai, right. From that's the Indian in it's the Lachyosam Bara'av, absolutely. Right, exactly. It's Shaykh to the world of Akudim. But if you look in Lukuta Maran, right, so in Torah, Ayin Resh Beis, which is Hayom and Mekolo Tishmo, the Torah of being born today, so that Torah is a fundamentally significant Torah. But because if they spelled it out in the way that they spelled out the other letters of the Torah, it's Resh Ayin Beis, Ra'ev, and the editors, Rabbi Nassan, didn't want that. This was a traditional thing they did in Svarim. They shifted it from words that seemed wrong. So they transitioned it to Ayin Resh Beis, which is Arev, which is pleasantness and almost like a satisfaction. But really, that whole Torah is the question of how are you mahapech ra'avon into arvus? How do you take hunger and transition it into a place of being okay? And the answer is Hayom and Mekolo Tishma'u. That Torah is an explanation of how you can switch the letters of hunger to the letters of satisfaction. But what you're saying here in the Oilam Akudim, it's also this expression. Absolutely.
What's the purpose of it being a secret? Why not?
Because these secrets of Ibor, these secrets of being okay that rest at the core of Panimiyas HaTorah, So there is always a concern that if one knows they're okay, and I'm using the words okay as my own, if one knows that they're okay no matter what, then they may allow themselves to function in a space of not really being okay, but come to accept that not being okay as okay. And they'll come to weaponize, or worse, a person will come to weaponize an idea like this, where if everything is permissive and I'm okay no matter what, then what value is there to the actions or the repercussions? Meaning this secret of being okay says absolutely nothing about the concept of schar va'onesh, right? So this is something that a person has to learn specifically from their own experience in Ibor.
Bevadai,
and Shatz and Shabsai Tzvi, all of these ideas, right? Yeravam ben Nevat, all of these fallen Mashiach ben Yosef types, which is the awareness of the tiefest type of secrets in the world, but a misutilization of them, right? The Bris Menucha, a famous Kabbalah Sefer, a fundamental one, says that the Osios of Keser, which is the loftiest level of these secrets, is also the letters Karis. Right, because if one comes to misunderstand, Rabbi Nassan spends a lot of time, famously Ishberitz and Radzin spend an amazing amount of time clarifying these ideas. The Talmidim of the Gra, Rav Menachem Mendel of Shklov also. Nobody talks about these ideas more than him, and nobody kind of balances them with the fundamental necessity of like being very careful with regards to how it's utilized. For us nowadays, in a state of survival, right, these ideas are fundamental. And there's a klal, right, that when a person knows what's valuable in the storehouse of the king, so then you have to have guards, right? But if nobody knows what's valuable anymore, nobody knows what to take, even when everything is revealed in front of them, then you can move the guards away and you can let people just kind of be mistovev. And that's one of the reasons we can speak about these ideas so openly today. So the Rebbe continues, and he says as follows: "Va'inyan hu, what's the inyan? Ki hinei l'chol ubar shebebeten imo yesh matzav kaful. In every child or every fetus that's in the stomach, right? There's a doubled way of experience. Ki mitzad echad, from one perspective, hu mitzad atzmo b'matzav namuch ma'od, v'eino yachol asos davar. From the perspective of the uber itself, it's not able to do anything." V'yarech imo mamish, to the extent that it's considered to be a limb of the mother. Aval mitzad sheni, but from another perspective, hu gavoa ma'od, it's rooted in the loftiest places, misad nishmaso, because the neshama at that point is fully expressive. And we're going to see why. K'mosha amru chazal, shehu tsaipa misaifa oilam v'ad tsaifa v'lemed kol ha-Torah kula. That the infant in the stomach is learning the entirety of the Torah. Everybody good with time-wise? We're good to go a little bit weiter? Okay. Umegala lanu maharchu, and what Rav Chaim Vital reveals to us is sha'oimek hatam bazeh. What's the reason for this? That we have this dual nature of the soul in this lowly state. On the one hand, from its own perspective, it's nothing. On the other hand, it has the potential of everything. Sha'oimek hatam bazeh hu kibizman ha'ibur, in the time of that latency, shehu azman ha'namuch, which is the lowest state, hu bechinas nefesh, which is a place of anger and frustration, sham klulum kol chamishe chelke hanaran chai shalom. There a person will uncover the roots of all of the expressions of their future sense of self, the naran chai. Ha'asidim l'hiskalus b'meshachayev. Everything is revealed at the state of birth. Ze acher ze. But in the process of life, it reveals itself one after another. Ad acher sayamim. Kach mitzad ha'emes meyur boy hakol. But from the truthful perspective, everything is already shining. And the neshama receives this stamp of having everything in itself. Even though it's going to forget it, it still has the stamp of the acknowledgement that everything is there in a form of potential. Aval bepoyel, rather in a state of actualization, ka'es meyur boigila rak b'chinas ha'nefesh bilvad. Here, at this state of actualization, it's just not revealed fully. L'chein mitzada metzius agashmius shalo, from the physical expression, hu b'matzav namuch, a person and finds themselves in a low place. And only in this world, slowly but surely, gradationally, we reveal our full selves. Why is everything revealed at this stage of latency, when I'm in a stage of nefesh? The reason is because the nefesh at this point is fully aware that it has nothing of its own. In a state of pregnancy, the child is aware that I eat from what my mother eats and I take from what my mother takes. And I have no sense of self-identity whatsoever. Elohu makuful b'mei imo. He's folded over in the womb. V'davka b'glal zeh, specifically because of this, shu batal b'enei atzmo. The person realizes they have nothing of their own. Davka l'chein hu tsayf u'mabit b'sayf ha'olam atsayfai. When a person lets go of their sense of self and becomes aware of the fact that it's only HaKadosh Baruch Hu who's allowing me to move one step, then I can see from one end of the world to the other. V'lo imer kol ha'Torah kula. At that point, I can teach the entire Torah. So too, because of the lowly level of the person's experience and the katnus and the ayefus of it all and the exhaustion of it all, at that moment a person is zoicha out of the impoverishment of the self in the healthy way, they come to realize that I'm only eating from what my mother eats, I'm only being yonik from above. At this stage I have full and utter bittul, I'm no longer identifying myself with myself. And it's specifically because of this that the lights shine now, as they are above. Because anytime a person thinks that they've reached some individual level of their own, or a person thinks that they have some measurable light or limited light, if I'm claiming to have something, that I am going to be measured only in accordance with what I claim to have. But when I'm holding myself to be this limited thing because I've earned this, so then all that is given to me from above is what I feel I own. And I'm stuck within my own self-proclaimed limitations of ani va'asvi oid, or ani ana emloch, I'm king. I'm in charge here. So they say, okay, so take what you're in charge of and you'll have absolutely nothing. When a person identifies with their strengths in a limited way, in an egocentric way, and again, we've spoken, bittul is not believing in my strengths. It's knowing my strengths, but not feeling that I'm responsible for them, right? When a person finds themselves stuck in gvul, hu chai b'mahalich gvul, a person is living their lives in accordance with limitation. Aval davka kishu namuch lagamre, but it's specifically when a person is beaten down to the lowest level, ve'ein loy klal or atzmi, and they have nothing of themselves, az meir boy etzem hametzias ha'amitis. At that point, when a person has fully gotten out of their way, and a person need not be beaten down to get out of their own way, we can do it with the flick of a finger. Shehu metzias Hashem yisbarach. At that point, we begin to live the true metzias, which is the metzias of ani, which is ani Hashem aleikechem, and we realize that our sense of independent identity is just an expression, so to speak, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's chavyachol. Shehu or b'li gvul. At that point, it's a light without limit. Umeir boy oireitz atzmiim kafi shehem lo hagvalos. At that point, a person is experiencing the lights of all lights without any limitation. V'zehu yisoid gadol l'chol yehudi. This is a fundamental truth for each and every Jew. Kasher hu nimsa b'matzav shel ibor. When a person finds themselves in a matzav of smallness and ibor, shem meichin dekatnus dekatnus. Not moichin the katnus, but katnus the katnus. We know from Rabbi Nachman, they asked Rabbi Nachman, why were you zoiche to come to Eretz Yisrael, but the Baal Shem Tov was not zoiche? And obviously, without getting into the absolute bittul that Rabbi Nachman had to the Baal Shem Tov, and how, in order to understand Rabbi Nachman, you have to see him as a direct hamshacha of the Baal Shem Tov, he said that the Baal Shem Tov tried, but Eretz Yisrael is godless the godless. And in order to come to godless, a person has to come to katnus the katnus. And when the Baal Shem Tov came to a place of katnus to katnus, as we know from the tale of Shvi Shel Pesach, where he forgot everything, and theoretically letting go of Udol, his daughter, he was not ready to do it, and he turned around and was not zoiche to get to Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Nachman was able to go through katnus to katnus, as it's expressed in Chaim Aharon and the beautiful, insane tales of Rabbi Nachman's journey to Eretz Yisrael. And it's only when a person is zoiche to the katnus shebekatnus can they be zoiche to the godless shebegodless of Eretz Yisrael. And very often, l'chayra, katnus shebekatnus doesn't look very much different than godless shebegodless, other than the shift of the mind in terms of what's happening here. And so, v'hu margish she'eno shav klum, and in this state of ibor, a person feels that they're worthless. She'eno shav klum, she'yeda es haderech, he doesn't know the path. V'hi she'az tzarech levatel es atzma legamrei. The only thing to do at that point, when I don't know which way to turn, is completely nullify myself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, li'yos b'b'chinas oichel mashi imoy oicheles, to be in a state of eating what my mother eats. V'yichya mitzad ha'elyon, and to allow myself to continue in spite of my feeling that it's impossible to continue. But suddenly I find myself continuing in spite of the fact that it's impossible. The hainu sheyargish she'ein lo shum atzmius. A person lets go of their sense of self. Ela hakoyil zerak oyir yisparach. Everything is the light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'dafka ayidei zeh. And through this, yachol lahagia l'chol ha'oyiris v'agiluyim. At that point, bazois yavo aron ala koydesh. From that katnus to katnus, is suddenly lepesa pesoim, a person finds themselves in the heichal hamelech. The Kamarna Tzadikim spoke so deeply about this, how in relationship with the descent into darkness that they felt was the commensurate light that they felt from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He said, Erev Shabbos is hell on earth. Erev Shabbos is an irbuvia between Choshech and Or. And he said, in accordance with the hellish darkness that I felt on Erev Shabbos, he says this is in the Ha'akdama to his parish on Megillas Esther. So too, in direct correspondence to that darkness, was I able to receive a light afterwards. V'zenikra Said HaIbor. And this is the secret of Ibor. Shadavka Be'ez Shenira Nefila. Specifically, when it appears that a person is falling, when a person is, God forbid, Noifel, like David Malka Mashiach, a stillborn who's not meant to be born, something that's meant to remain in a state of pregnancy. But Adam Arishon says, Chayim Sha'al Mimcha, I'm going to give you life. He gives 70 years to Adam Arishon, but he gives 70 years to David Malka Mashiach. The Indian of Ibor and the Indian of Nefila and Nefilos are all Mukushar Biachad. Dafka Sham Mistateras HaKadusha Achi Gavoa. Specifically there hides the loftiest light imaginable, Kedushas Hesgalus Etzem Elikus. The revelation of the essence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's light, so to speak. We'll finish this last paragraph, just to finish this parak. What we find is that there's two ways to contemplate and to live in the time of katnus. A person can live in a state of bitter exile or exilic embitterment, and a small-mindedness and an anger, a shortness of breath and a heavy burden, like we're learning about as we're getting ready for Pesach. But there's another path, which is exactly what the Baal Shem Tov came to reveal. Baal Shem Tov is not saying you're wrong if you live in that first path. Magil kol echad ve'echad, to sit with their maror and to be tzibrachin their whole lives. Each person has enough of a reason for that. We don't have to explain ourselves. But there's a new path. There's a derech hadasha shehi yeshena. There's a new path that's very old. It's a derech atika. It's what Rabbi Nachman describes in the Maisa of the Bas Melech Shenavda of a shvil min hatzad, that there's a path to the side that the Baal Shem Tov offers. And this path is lachiyos bebechinas oichel mimashi imo eicheles, to live my life from the perspective of I'm eating from above, I'm eating what my mother is eating. The hainu lichanes lachiyos loy mitzad ametzios haatzmus klal, to live and to find sustenance not from my own individualized existence, shebohu margish klum, where I feel absolutely nothing, ela lachiyos mitzad elyon, but rather to live my life in accordance with a higher position, kamoish yesh koyach leuber b'meimo, just like there is a koyach to the infant in the stomach of the mother, shu kemat meis, it's almost as if it's dead, ve'ein lo chayas atzmus, and it has no inner vitality of its own, behu b'matzev hachi namuch, and it exists at the lowest level, v'dafka sham yesh lekoyach liskos liachyos mitzad hamadrega elyona, and it's specifically there that we have the ability to live from the highest perspective, v'bechinas oichel mimashi imo yecheles, to live with emuna, to live with that sense of being okay, v'zes soy cheskal lekan b'ha'aras marina v'Rav Chaim Vital, and this secret is what is revealed here in this footnote, in this small footnote from Rav Chaim Vital, shebizman sheyesh rak nefesh, in the time where all that exists is the soul, is the spirit, dafka sham munach hiskalus shel kol naran chai kamo shehim mitzara elyon. It's specifically there. It's specifically there that we have the ability to uncover our deepest connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And there's some Torahs that need explanation, and there are other Torahs that are pshitali lam likra. A person lives in this state. I live in this state from one moment to the next, where a person can be, you can choose to be in the katnus of a katnus, and you can give into it, and you can bow under it, and you can buckle underneath it. Or a person can turn around and realize, you know, ma titzak alai, Mitzrayim is chasing afterwards. I'm not going to scream out about it. I'm just going to move forward. And when a person moves forward, they realize, I'm not moving forward. I'm just moving forward. My body is moving me now. It's not my decision. And at that point, the person uncovers the secret of Shvi Shal Pesach, the secret of the Zivug of Katnus, which is the Hiskalus of the Oris of Mashiach, and the ability for Mashiach to arrive in our lives, specifically at the lowest points of our experience, Be'ezras Hashem.